Thank you. All right, everyone. I am going to call this meeting to order. This is the January 7th, 2026 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed by Chelan County to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various items that are authorized to come before me, which include variance applications and administrative appeals. I'll consider any testimony presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file in order to make my decision. The hearing process has certain rules. I'll still try to be as relaxed and informal as possible, but we still have a procedure that we're going to use. For each item, staff will first present their report to make whatever recommendations that they wish to make. Then, even for the second item, we'll turn to the applicant. The applicant will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. And then we'll turn to the public testimony at that point, or the appellant's testimony on the second item on the agenda. We'll go through that, and I'll give you some explanation about that in a little bit. And then for the first item, if there is any thing additional that the applicant or that the yes, that the applicant wishes to state, they'll be given that chance to do it. On the first item, the applicant has the burden of proof to show compliance with all the applicable rules and regulations. On the second item, the administrative appeal, it is the appellants that have the burden of proof to demonstrate that the decision of the county, the administrative decision, was in error. If you are going to testify, if you're here present, I'll have you come on up to the front of the hearing room. If you're online, I'll have you raise your hand if you want to testify, and then staff will call on you. Either way, once you're called on, I'll have you state your name and your address. If you're going to give evidence, I'll swear you in as a witness. I'd ask that you keep your testimony as brief as possible and relevant to the application that we're talking about. For the item on the second agenda, we do have substantial written public comments already submitted. If you're here for the second item on the agenda, the administrative appeal, and you already have submitted a written comment, it's not necessary for you to read that written comment into the record or to repeat in oral testimony what you said in the written comment. That is already in the record. So I'd ask that you please follow that guideline. I'd also note for everybody here that this is not a time for questions. This is not a time for you to question the hearing examiner or question the applicant or question staff. For everyone here today, you should note that this is a time for you to present your testimony and evidence as to, for the first item, how the project does or does not comply with the applicable rules and regulations, and for the second item, why the county administrative decision was in error. Now, I have the option following this hearing to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. If you're here in person, please do as I did earlier and check your phone and make sure you're either on silent or have it turned off, except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding requests for reconsideration and requests to reopen hearings. My decision on both of these matters will be final and conclusive unless they are appealed. Appeals are by means of a land use petition action, and they have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision. And if an appeal is not timely filed, the appeal would be barred. I reviewed both items on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in either of the properties or the proposals or the appeal to be heard today. I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider each item. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff reports and the exhibits that I'll identify that were exhibits that I will be admitting into the record very shortly here, but that they were referenced in the staff report, other than receiving and reviewing those, I've not had any communication regarding the items that are on today's agenda. With those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as the hearing examiner, if so, you either need to come forward and say so or unmute yourself and state your objection. All right, seeing and hearing none, I'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. This was the variance application. It's given application number VAR 25-284, or alternatively PL 25-284. This is an application submitted to reduce a front yard setback along Echo Avenue on property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in all the application materials. For the record, I will admit exhibits A through H that are referenced in the staff report. Exhibit I will be the staff report, and we'll turn this matter over to staff for your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Kotkamp. Staff has nothing to add outside of what was stated in the staff report, other than staff believes that this proposal does not meet the criteria of the variance code section.
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant either present or online today?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Mr. Walker.
Hello.
I will have you state your name and an address for me, please.
Ryan Walker, 200 South Columbia Street, Suite 300, Wenatchee.
All right, Mr. Walker, I'll have you raise your right hand for me, please. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, Mr. Walker, are you here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the applicant and property owner?
Yes, I am.
All right, sir, what would you like to tell me?
Thank you. So this proposal is very similar to a variance you approved back in August on the same property. That previous variance was to add on to the existing residence on the property. The request for the setback reduction is the same in this application from Echo Avenue from 55 feet to 30 feet from the street center line.
Since, do you have the file number for that prior decision?
I do. Give me a couple clicks around here. I believe it's at the top of the staff report.
Oops, just a second. Staff has indicated it was VAR what?
25-111.
All right, 25-111. If you come across something that says something different, Mr. Walker, let me know.
Thanks, I will. So back in August, we had a very similar variance on this property, which was approved. Following approval of that variance, a survey was done of the property, and it was determined that the existing cabin, which was built 95 years ago in 1930, it encroached into the side yard setback about 2.5 feet. So with that setback encroachment, it's more problematic to add on to that structure, and it causes alignment issues with the additions we're going to be on each side of that structure. Also, since that time, inspections were done of that cabin, which is nearly 100 years old. It's log construction, and there are additional challenges with meeting current building codes and energy codes and the integration of the plumbing and such like that. So even though that project was approved, as the design and architecture got deeper into the design, it became apparent that implementing that had some practical issues to it. So this new proposal is to replace that cabin, build in that same location. But regardless of what the proposal is, whether it's adding on to that one or replacing it, the property experiences a significant hardship, and that is the front yard setback from Echo Avenue, the unopened county right-of-way, which extends most of the way across the property. This property is 50 feet wide. A setback of 55 feet from the center line eats up most of the property, and so it leaves a 15-foot wide sliver there to build upon. So whether it's adding on, replacing, the hardship exists no matter what. The approval of this variance will not grant a special privilege to this property owner. In the application, you'll see that over 25 variances have been granted, actually all of them by you, for hardships related to front yard setbacks in the north shore of Lake Wenatchee, and many of them are unopened right-of-ways. Even immediately across Echo Avenue, the unopened road we're talking about, across that, road in quotation marks, you approved a variance to build a three-story house that was over 4,000 square feet. So The applicant's not asking for anything special. They just want the same privilege as the other property owners in the area, which because of a variety of conditions, topography and county roads that will never be opened are the two main ones. Variances are more common in this neighborhood than others. The plight of the applicant is due to the small lot size, which results in no buildable area. In that road will never be developed. It goes nowhere. It goes just straight down and dead ends into Lake Wenatchee. The topography is steep, and so that speaks to the need for the variance to widen the carport on the property. There's no way to park on the property without having that in the front yard setback. And that's why there's part of the proposal is widening the roof line of the existing carport, which was also approved with a front yard variance, similar to the neighbor's carport, which to the west, which is nearly in line with this carport. So it's the topography and the unopened right of ways are the key components of the hardship here. And this hardship directly results from the application of Title 11. I mean, this is not caused by the applicant. They haven't chosen to have these setbacks imposed on their property. This is not their actions. The variance is not based on illegal or non-conforming circumstances. It is strictly based on the significant hardship of these setbacks and the topography. And again, the reference to other variances being approved is simply to show that the applicant is not asking for special treatment. Each of those variances was approved based on their own criteria, but it represents a consistent and equitable application of the zoning code. Those structures were then legally constructed, which is very important. They're legally constructed structures, and therefore they are not illegal and they are not non-conforming. They're legally constructed structures that followed the zoning code, the building code. They're legal structures. So variance is not based on a lack of economic return. There's no expectation of economic return. Just expectation is to have what is a fairly modest sized residence. We're talking about a footprint of about 1,200 square feet, which is actually smaller than a lot of the cabins along the North Shore. If you've been up around there, or I know you're familiar with these from other applications you've heard. And this variance is not based on the fact that the hardship existed when the property was acquired. It's based on the fact the hardship exists now. There's no reasonable way to redevelop this property, again, either through the already approved and valid variance to add on or this current application. Without the approval of the variance, there's a significant hardship on the property. Again, when we're also talking about the addition of the roof line to the existing carport, the staff report speculates that that's either a non-conforming or an illegal structure. It's important to be aware of the definition of non-conforming in the Chelan County Code. It's listed under 1498-1300, and a non-conforming structure is one that was lawful, and then the adoption of the zoning code made it so it does not meet the current regulations. It's a building or structure which was lawful prior to the adoption, revision, or amendment of the zoning code, but which fails by reason of such adoption, revision, or amendment to conform to the current regulations. Neither this carport nor none of the other variances we're talking about, they don't meet that definition of non-conforming. They are legally constructed. they meet the Chelan County zoning code because they comply with the variance section of the code. There's a few comments submitted. I think it's really important to note that Public Works commented, and they have no opposition to the variance. They would be the primary agency with concern with the distance from both North Shore Drive or the unopened Echo Avenue. They recommend several conditions of approval regarding those right of ways, which we completely agree with. There's a couple public comments. They seem to be concerned with maybe the distance to the lake. I wasn't completely sure there, but I want to point out that this is not a variance for the shoreline buffer from the lake. The property will meet the required urban shoreline buffer under the Shoreline Master Program. So there's no reduction in the buffer from the water, the lake, any critical area, anything like that. There will be no vegetation removal in the buffer, no impact to the buffer whatsoever. And given because this is next to the unopened Echo Avenue, that the property will actually appear to have more open space, more natural area, more vegetation. Again, because that right of way will never be opened. It's a natural vegetated area. So it actually provides more separation between buildings than there would be on other properties that just have normal 5 foot side yard setbacks, where the structures could be 10 feet apart. On the Echo Avenue side of this, even with the reduced setback, the adjacent structure over there will be over 60 feet away. So we have read all the conditions of approval in the staff report and agree with those. And at this point, if you have any questions or concerns with the application, I'd be glad to address those now.
No, I assume that the variance you were talking about on the other side of Echo Avenue, is that application referenced in your application materials?
Yeah, it is. It's 2019. I can get that for you here. Bear with me. It is in the application.
Well, I'll find it then.
Yeah, I've got it's 2019-006. That was granted October 3 of 2019. And all of those variances are referenced in the application. It's a technical memorandum written by myself, dated October 16, 2025, that should be in the application materials that you received. Hopefully you have those. Also within those, I think there's some photographs that really help to illustrate the hardship, the need, and the lack of impact of approval of this application.
Yes, that is in the record, just for your information.
Great.
All right, anything else, Mr. Walker, you'd like to add?
Not unless you have any questions or anything else from me. Thank you.
I don't at this time. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker. We'll turn this over to the public now. Is there any member of the public that's present here today that wishes to testify? All right, none. If there's anybody that's online that wishes to testify, please, do the raise hand feature and you can be called upon. Give you a second. Sometimes it's hard to find. All right, not seeing any. Is there anything further from staff?
No, sir.
All right, Mr. Walker, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the record on this matter now. I'll have a written decision made for you and your client within the next 10 working days.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in today. Okay, we'll turn to the second item on today's agenda. This is, as I indicated, an appeal of an administrative decision regarding a building permit 250454. So I have a bunch of exhibits that I'm going to admit into the record. There's exhibits A through H that are referenced in the staff report. And I would note for everybody that's here today that exhibit E is all of those written comments that were submitted by members of the public between August and September. Actually, there's one in October, August and October 2025. So all of those are in the record. I'm going to admit Exhibit I, which is a June 6, 2026 letter from Wireless Policy Group to the hearing examiner with two attachments. Exhibit J is from the applicant, RF. A radio frequency justification letter. Exhibit K is a NEPA document submitted by the applicant. Exhibit L is the applicant's PowerPoint of photographs. Exhibit M is a packet of materials that I received from the appellant late yesterday afternoon on June 6, 2026, but I'll admit that into the record. Exhibit N will be the revised staff report, and we'll turn this matter over to staff now for its presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Examiner. Tori Keniston, Planner 2, on behalf of the county. Staff stands by the issuance of the SEPA determination, and aside from the staff report and other submitted documentation by the county, we have nothing further to add. The applicant is present via Zoom and is available to respond to questions per the hearing examiner's request.
All right. All right, thank you very much. I will give the applicant an opportunity to testify. If you're here, I understand you're here. Can you state your name and address for me? Please unmute yourself.
Sure. This is Jessica Pierce with Rica Land Services, and my address is 7525 Southeast 24th Street, Mercer Island, Washington.
All right, I'll have you raise your right hand for me, please. And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right. Thank you. And you are here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the applicant and property owner?
Correct.
All right, what would you like to tell me about this appeal?
Well, I've submitted responses to the SEPA document that the appellant submitted, and I would just stand by what staff has also recommended, that our responses were given in a truthful manner. And I responded back to staff. To the appellant's questions, truthfully and honestly. And you also have the attached NEPA document as well as the photo simulations to address additional questions that staff also received as part of our land use application. And I'm here to answer any questions you might have during the course of the hearing. I don't really have anything further to add.
All right, thank you very much.
And
So we'll go to the
if I
appellant.
may, Mr. Examiner,
What's that?
if I may, my name is Meredith Pabst, from Wireless Policy Group, and I'm also representing the applicant this morning. I authored the letter, that you received on Monday.
All right, your name again, please.
Meredith, Meridee, Pabst, Pabst. On behalf of the Towers LLC, which is the applicant for the project known as Vertical Bridge. And
All
if
right. Do you want to provide your testimony? Do you want me to swear you in as a witness?
sure, yes.
All right. Raise your right hand for me, please. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right. Thank you. And just to confirm, you indicated that you're here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the applicant today. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. All right. What would you like to tell me?
If I may just clarify two procedural issues. I heard you outline the exhibits you've received since Monday and added to the record. And I didn't hear you list the written response that Ms. Pierce provided. I believe she sent it on Monday, and I just wanted to confirm that that was in the record.
Well, I read it, so was that by an email? No, that was.
Jessica, if you could clarify.
It was emailed to planning, and they uploaded it through that document link as well, as well as the NEPA and the photo simulations you reference. So
Yeah,
I think it's just missing.
it's Exhibit I, the January 6, 2026 letter to the hearing examiner. Is that correct? From Wireless Policy Group.
Yes, that is my written submittal, and Jessica also submitted something responding factually to the areas of the environment under SEPA.
That's the applicant, correct.
All right. I know that was sent to me, but I didn't make it onto my computer here. What is the date of that, just to make sure?
That is January 6th as well.
I thought it was the 5th.
1 second. It was Monday. Yes, sorry.
So January 5th.
All right. If it's not already, when I go through my materials, if it's not already part of the record, that will be Exhibit P.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. And then my second procedural question is, will applicant be allowed to respond to appellant after they provide their argument and testimony?
No, they have the burden of proof, so the applicant gets the last opportunity to present testimony and evidence. This is your opportunity to present whatever testimony and evidence and argument that you wish to make.
Okay, good. Thank you very much for clarifying that, sir. Again, my name is Meredith Pabst on behalf of the applicant, and I won't repeat all the points we made in writing. And again, I would direct your attention to the submittals that both Ms. Pierce and I made. We focused on some separate issues. I think just broadly, I'd like to say that this is a under the county code and the SEPA statutes and regulations. This is a non-discretionary permit issued under the zoning code with a building permit. It's combined with a SEPA review because the tower is greater than 60 feet in height, so it's not exempt from SEPA. We saw no allegation of the county's, alleged failure to comply with the zoning code or any other code. Only a detailed critique of the SEPA checklist that was provided for this application. And again, more broadly, I think some of the opposition is based on a misunderstanding of the SEPA process. The SEPA checklist initiates the environmental review. The applicant's representative visited the site, observed what they saw on site, as is typical, looked at some other available information, confirming zoning, et cetera. And that starts the SEPA process. Then the county, as the lead agency, relies on it resources available to its staff and also, of course, circulates the SEPA checklist for comment. In this particular case, a number of concerned parties did submit comments. And those were considered by staff. So this process has reflected a thorough analysis under SEPA. And in our view, any alleged error in the original checklist is immaterial. I would also like to point out that and we cited the statute, under growth management and SEPA integration, it's a lot more rare now to see mitigation provided through the SEPA process because the standard now is basically a presumption that the county's code adopted to mitigate for the universe of impacts that are described, say in the intent or purpose section of the code, those are sufficient to compliance with those adopted standards is sufficient for SEPA purposes. And again, I have the citation in the written materials. Let's see. I did want to mention that the applicant, or excuse me, appellants are requesting two remedies: one, revocation of the building permit, and second, moving the site to a different location. First, there's no basis for requiring moving the site. Applicants not required for this type of tower to address alternative sites for the tower, just alternative co-locations, which is an attachment to an existing tower. There's no basis for revocation. We don't believe that the applicant has shown a significant impact under SEPA. And if they were to show such an impact, the next step in the analysis under SEPA is looking at potential mitigation, not denial of the project, or in this case, revocation of a building permit. Also, to speak more generally regarding two areas of argument, both of these areas may not be considered under SEPA analysis. The first is any allegations of impacts due to radio frequency emissions, and we address this in detail in our written materials. The second is any allegations of a reduction in property values. And SEPA is clear that alleged economic impacts are not part of the scope of review under SEPA. For example, persons don't have standing based on alleged economic impacts. And last, we do have some procedural notes. Again, I think Ms. Pierce pointed out concern about whether some of the appellants have standing. And so we just wanted to reserve that for any future proceeding that may follow this particular administrative appeal. And let me see. I co covers the scope of what I wanted to speak to today. Oh, I'm sorry. There was one more response we wanted to provide, and Ms. Pierce responded to this in writing yesterday. You will have seen when you reviewed these materials a number of objections based on the use of the PUD's park for a landing zone for paragliding and hang gliding. And Ms. Pierce did look further into that question when it was raised below. And she provided some additional detail in her written materials. And you may also look at page 35 of the PDF provided by appellants yesterday. The pages aren't numbered, but in Adobe it says page 25. That shows the landing zone has explicit directions for how to approach. It shows that the landing zone is to the south of the soccer field in the park, and those piloting in are directed to avoid the north end of the park where this proposed tower is. They're directed to keep their path to the east, which is the opposite direction of this tower. It's on the west side of the park. And in our view, there's just no evidence that there would be a conflict for purposes of SEPA analysis. And thank you again for your time, and I'm happy to address any questions if you may have at this time.
No, I do not have any questions. And for those of you who are online and here in person, I ask questions only if I'm confused about something or if I don't understand something. But my job is not to ask questions to help develop one side's case or another. And many times I don't ask any questions at all because I understand the issues that are before me. So I do not have any questions for staff. Thank you, or for the applicant. Thank you very much. Is there any other representative of the applicant that wanted to testify? Okay, we'll turn this over to the appellants now. I guess I'd start with, is there a primary spokesperson for the appellant group? And if not, then we'll just start through the process. Somebody's raising their hand here in the hearing room, so sir, come on up. We'll have you state your name and address.
Where would you like? Anywhere.
In front of either one of them, that's fine. Have you state your name and address, and then I'll swear you in as a witness.
Scott Dietrich, Schlein Falls. Do I need my street address?
Just an address is what we do.
545 Chestnut Street.
And how do you spell your last name?
Dietrich.
Dietr.
Dietr.
Ich.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Dietrich, would you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Dude.
All right, thank you. And what would you like to say, Mr. Dietrich?
I'll start off with there's a lot to say, and I'll never get it all in through this whole process that we've learned about county government and everything that has gone on within this with the other folks on the other side. In conversation with a Chelan County code enforcement officer back in late August, early September, he told me this project was already going in. Jim and Cindy Walton, who are also part of this, in conversation with members of the Chelan County Community Development Office, were also told this not long after I was told that. So there was a determination made that this was going to happen clear back then. It didn't get to run its due process. We had not had our chances to chime in on this thing. We have been thwarted and held up on things by the best example I can give is the building permit that we are going against today or speaking against today was issued on November 14th. We were not made aware of this till November 24th. I think there's a 15-day period after that we can propose this. This was going into the Thanksgiving holiday and the weekend, so we were very limited to the amount of time we had to put anything together on that. We were given an over sorry. As I talked to, I had conversation with Jessica Pierce, I don't think they understand the true scope of the hang gliders and paragliders, which you have letters, I think, from most of the people, most of the flyers. If they have 130 people in the air at any given time and there's an emergency and they send out the go to ground signal, those people go to ground because they might be bringing in a helicopter for an emergency. They might be bringing in, you know, there's a number of things why they could have to go to ground. The Chelan Valley has hosted for, I'm going to say, close to two decades, national and international competitions. The flyers have a operating agreement with the PUD to use that facility. They're worried that this is going to jeopardize their national and international competitions, which is going to affect the Chelan Valley and this county as far as revenue income and such. And it's going to be unsafe when you've got 130 people lining up. It's not like you're in an airport and you're coming in all lined up, landing one at a time. These people are circling and watching out for everybody. There's going to be a tower right in the middle of that hole. Jessica stated that the landing zone is 300 feet or 300 yards, 300 feet. To me, it's insignificant. These people are coming and going every direction in circles. It's going to jeopardize safety. It's going to jeopardize the economy of Chelan. It's going to take away a really big event that is recognized worldwide. You've probably read the SEPA report that I've rebutted, the original SEPA report I rebutted. And what I tried to put in that to make people understand is when Jessica Pierce filled it out, and then I sent that to the county and they rebutted my rebuttal with not the best answers, but can I read some of these questions and use my examples?
It's in the record. You don't need to.
Okay.
You can point out where it is, but reading it
okay.
doesn't make it any more
they
so.
They talk about, are there any future expansions? Simple answer from Jessica was no. On the site plans, there are four more pads added within this site and 6 to 7 added arrays on this tower for future expansion. It says right on the site plans. She answered no. Are there any recreational facilities, anything in the general proximity? She answered no. The park is right across the street. Since, and I'll leave it at that, since we brought a lot of this to head, there have been two more SEPA reports submitted with amendments and additions beyond this very first one that I feel have been past dated or post dated to make them look like they fit. None of the answers that are on those came up until we brought attention to them. So I feel they were added after the fact. We have 28 citizens of the community in Chelan Falls and Flyers who have spoke out in concern for this tower. And please let me add that we're not opposed to a cell tower. We agree that there are dead zones in that valley or down in that area, but there are far better places to put it than right in the middle of everybody's view, right next to a park. Jessica said, cell towers or cell signals do not cross over water. I suggested the Douglas County Fire Department. There's going to be a huge amount of money being paid in rent to the property owner. The Douglas County Volunteer Fire Department could probably use that funds much, much better than said applicant for this site. We've been mischaracterized as calling the area residential. Nobody has ever said that from our group, calling that area residential. The only thing I brought to point, and I unfortunately didn't get it in, was I have the assessor's reports of all of the buildings in that general proximity. A lot of those are zoned residential or commercial, which is not urban industrial, as has been stated on four different documents. The particular lot that this proposed tower is going to be put on is zoned residential, as per the assessor's tax sheet. I don't know if it's legal. I'm sure there's some kind of loophole that will be found that says it'll be okay to put it on this residential lot. I can go on and on, but it's we're just trying to keep this out of our view. The 130-foot tall tower, where these arrays are going to be, it brings it up to the level of where most of the homes are in that area. It's going to be beaming 5G right into their front windows. The 5G things that Meredy talked about, the radio frequency policies, are from 1996. That's I don't know how many decades old, but and they've never been readdressed. 5G wasn't available in 1996 when those policies were put into place. And I, like I said, I could go on and on and on with what we feel were procedural delays to keep us thwarted from trying to put in what we have. I could give you a list as long as my right arm that we have seen from the community development office. We don't feel that their name suits them well. This is not responsible community development. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for coming in. Anybody else here in the room that wishes to testify? Sir, did you want to testify?
No.
All right. So we'll turn to the members of the appellants group that are online. If you wish to testify and something in addition to what your written comments are, please raise your hand so you can be called on. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody raising their hand. In case you can't figure out how to raise your hand, which I understand can be problematic, you can simply unmute yourself if, or I don't know, can they unmute themselves? You can unmute yourself if you wish to testify. All right, no additional testimony. Anything further from staff?
Yes, Dina Walter, Director for Chelan County Community Development. I just wanted to address or follow up on two things. The appellants submitted yesterday, and I believe he was referring in his testimony to the assessor codes, that this is residential property. The zoning of this property is rural industrial. The codes that he's referring to are assessment codes for reporting purposes to Department of Revenue. So they are not real time, and they may not over the years have ever been changed, but they are not zoning designations. The second issue is the hang gliders and paragliders that are using the county park as a landing facility. Although we were aware that that was occurring, it is a land use issue that has not been approved through the county, and we don't know where they are taking off, what property is being utilized that would likely require a conditional use permit, and the use of the park as the landing pad would be evaluated at that time. So that is not an authorized use currently in the county that we can address.
All right, thank you very much. With that, Mr. Dietrich, is there anything further from the appellants? If so, you got to come forward again.
And I just know that they do have an agreement with Chelan County PUD to use that site as a landing zone. Talking to PUD commissioners, had I gotten to them sooner, they would have had a better chance of working against this. They feel like it is not a good thing to be doing to the hang gliding community, to the park. There were a couple of other things I thought of as she was talking, but I've lost those. I'm not used to sitting in here and talking in hearings and things like that. I know they do it all the time. I'm sure they do it all the time. So I did want to address, though, one other thing, that the county's the applicant put in for the building permit back, I don't know, it was July, somewhere back in the day. Jim and Cindy Walton were told through conversation that we haven't issued the building permit yet. We are still waiting for payment. Came out of their office. I have never heard of a building permit or any kind of process like this going ahead without prepayment right up front. That said permit was $1,470 plus or minus dollars. Our appeal fee was $1,252, I think it was. So for under $3,000, there's a lot of work gone into this for $3,000. Economically, this just doesn't add up. So.
All right. Thanks. Thank you very much. And I did review all of that in the written materials as well. So I was familiar with that issue. All right, folks, what I'm going to do then is I am going to close the public record portion of this hearing now. I have a lot of things to review. I'll have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. If I need additional time, I will let the county and the appellants and the applicant all know that. The record is now closed, and I'll have my written decision made as indicated. These were the only two items that were on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn this January 7, 2026 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. Thank you all very much for coming out. For the folks that are here online, I do appreciate you being here to observing the proceedings. I'm very aware of your emotions on this project, and I appreciate the materials that have been submitted, and I will take them into consideration very carefully. With that said, this meeting is now adjourned.